Brexit leader Nigel Farage speaks his mind, coming up on The Uprising.
LibertyNation.com. They're the resistance, but we are the uprising. With Scott Cosenza and Tim Donner.
There's not going to be a President Donald Trump.
Hey, a president! Can you believe it?
I love the poorly educated.
The voters have guaranteed themselves slavery, economic disaster.
I can't believe I'm losing to this guy.
You could put half of Trump's supporters into what I call the basket of deplorables.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I have never met with Russians.
Putin is continuing to advance into
Korea.
Black Lives Matter, the Antifa movement, is interested in preserving the fabric of America.
This is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com. Tim Donner with you this week. When the history of the early 21st century is written, the man who joins us on this episode of The Uprising will figure prominently in the narrative woven by historians. Evidence of the impact of Nigel Farage can be found in the fact that he finished as the runner-up only behind Donald Trump for Time Magazine's 2016 Person of the Year. He is, along with Donald Trump, the leader of the opposition to the global order. Indeed, before there was Donald Trump, there was Nigel Farage. Nigel Farage stands as one of the most significant political figures of recent times. He's a close friend and ally of President Trump. In fact, many have called him the British Trump, and for good reason. As a member of the European Parliament and leader of the UK Independence Party for almost two decades, he stoked the Trump-like populist nationalist revolt, which resulted in the dramatic, game-changing withdrawal of Britain from the European Union. And the EU bureaucracy was not pleased. Mr. Farage is set to speak at an evening presented by LibertyNation.com this Thursday, October 12th in Washington, D.C., and he joins us now. Mr. Farage, welcome to The Uprising.
Yes, hello. Good to join you guys.
So glad to have you. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. Now, they said all the same things about you across Europe that they did about Donald Trump across the U.S. They called you bombastic, xenophobic, fascist. They tried to laugh you off the stage, dismiss the people who follow you as ignorant and racist, said your attempt to take down the established order would never happen, could not happen. So let me ask you, in your heart of hearts, did you really believe from the time the Brexit movement started that you could succeed?
I believed 25 years ago that if we stood up and fought for decent values, that in the end we would win. Little did I know it would take a quarter of a century to get there, but I never doubted it for a single day through that entire quarter of a century, because what I'd identified, perhaps rather earlier than most, is that our political class had become detached from ordinary, decent, hardworking, law-abiding people. So the honest truth is, I never doubted it for a moment.
All right, so here we are in the midst of a populist uprising in the U.S. and in Europe. You made history with Brexit. Trump won a most unlikely victory. And then nationalist candidates did pretty well in France and Germany. The Dutch election seemed to be a mixed bag. But the question now is whether that movement is gaining or losing steam. There's talk of President Trump being co-opted by the foreign policy establishment and the liberal worldview of Ivanka and Jared Kushner. Where stands the revolution, Mr. Farage?
Oh, it's still bubbling. It's still brewing. Be in no doubt about that. You know, I get people in Europe say to me, oh, Nigel, it's all over. Look, in France, President Macron became the president, therefore it's all over. What they're ignoring is the fact that in the first round of the French presidential elections, 46.5% of people voted for secessionist candidates of left, center, or right. So no, it's still growing across the whole of Europe. And let's look at America. Okay, you know, President Trump has, of course, faced huge obstructionism from the judges, from the Bush family, from many in the media. But just look at Alabama. Just look at what happened in Alabama a few days ago, you know, where a candidate that was put up by the Republican Party as their choice got beaten by 10 points by the outsider. So no. Be in no doubt. Whilst we may not have had in 2017 the same dramatic, seismic events of Brexit and Trump, this is still bubbling. There is still a movement out there of people who wish to live in nation state, who reject political correctness, and who quite rightly are not afraid to recognise that Islamic terrorism poses a threat to our entire Western way of life. In fact, in some ways, maybe the revolution is only just beginning.
As we continue with Nigel Farage, there's a tendency to equate all national movements in Europe with one another, when in fact, other than the theme of maintaining national identity, there's profound differences. Prime example being Marine Le Pen in France, who's a nationalist but also a socialist in many ways. How much unity is there among the various so-called nationalist movements in Europe?
Well, I would say amongst the Eurosceptic movements across Europe, in many ways, I'm seen as a sort of the grandfather figure. I'm the guy that's been doing it for 20 years over there,
right.
And most of them are very new to it. So I was in Berlin a couple of weeks ago. I was in Prague last week. I travel extensively around European capitals, linking hands with people who very often I have profound differences with. Differences on economics, differences, in terms of social policy. But where we all agree is we don't want a Europe where the nation state gets eradicated and supplanted by some sort of false bureaucracy. So I would say this to you, the word nationalism gets used a lot, and that's always got a right-wing connotation. I prefer to use the word nationism. Those of us that believe in nations come from the left, the right, and the center, and I think what we have in common is our total abhorrence at the idea that unelected bureaucrats take over our lives. We want to be individual sovereign countries, to live in free democracies, and to cooperate with each other as next-door neighbors, as grown-ups.
Now, while there are so many out there who voted for and are cheering on this populist nationalist uprising, I wonder how many of them realize how daunting the task is, overcoming, toppling a global order and a deeply entrenched establishment built over decades in the U.S. and in the EU, overcoming a worldview dominated by leftist thought and political correctness. I mean, here you come, here Donald Trump comes and says, we're going to drain the swamp. Talk to us about just how hard it is to loosen the bolts, so to speak, holding together this deeply entrenched and entitled and elitist establishment order.
Oh, it's very hard, because you see, the new order is one in which the multinational businesses, the big banks, the establishment, the whole system of patronage and promotion and jobs in the public sector are absolutely tied hand in glove with the politicians in power and the global institutions that have been set up. So it's not easy. So a year on from Brexit, we have a parliament that is losing its nerve, despite the fact the country is not. And in America, we see the establishment Republicans and the judges and the media and everybody else doing their best to water down Trumpism. So, look, it's not easy. And those that have enjoyed this enormous privilege over the course of the last two or three decades will not surrender it willingly, which is why what we must not do, and I said this in Alabama when I was down supporting Judge Roy Moore a couple of weeks ago, what we cannot do after our successes of 16, of Brexit and Trump, we must never rest on our laurels for us to be free, for us to be nation states, for us to fight against these horrible and at times, frankly, evil global forces. For us, it has to be perpetual revolution. And I promise you, as far as I'm concerned, it is.
Okay, the revolution is on and remains on. But freedom of speech has now become almost a defining issue of this age. College campuses in the U.S. are doing the opposite of what they're supposed to do, squashing debate. And recent polls are showing shockingly high percentages of people favoring limits on the First Amendment here in the U.S. Now, you said earlier this year the liberal left are actually the most illiberal people I've ever seen or met in my life. Expound on that. Expound on that a bit, if you would.
I did. Those that masquerade as liberal, with a small L sense of the word, have forgotten what it actually means. They are now so upset and so frustrated by the events of 2016 that they now, through the higher educational system of colleges and universities, wish to suppress and close down all open, free debate. All the things, actually, that our forebears fought for hard in two world wars and more. And I think what's happening in American universities and British universities is terrifying. The concept of no platforming people and all the rest of it. And I'm very, very worried about this development. It is the most fundamentally, not just undemocratic, but anti-democratic thing I've seen in my lifetime. The liberals, the nice people, the metropolitan elite actually are exposing themselves to be horrendously fascistic in everything that they do. And we have got to stand and fight back up against this very, very hard indeed. I mean, goodness me, it isn't just the colleges. They're tearing down statues. They're trying to rewrite history. I mean, it's terrifying what these people are trying to do.
And a lot of it is being stoked by the media, whose bias is obvious. It's more pronounced than ever before with Donald Trump. And yet, Trump still won, Reagan won, Bush won, Nixon won, Margaret Thatcher won, despite the media. How important, in the end, do you think the obvious and pervasive bias of the establishment media really is in formulating the views of ordinary people in the U.S.
It is diminishing. It is diminishing with every single day that goes by. And that's why I'm pleased and honored to be on with you doing this interview, because it's through mediums like this that people now find the truth. The world is changing. New media is changing everything. Without the internet, Brexit would never have happened. Trump would never have happened. And what we're seeing from the New York Times and CNN and everybody else is a desperate last gasp of an establishment who are losing their grip on power. Thank the Lord.
Well, the establishment didn't take Donald Trump seriously and didn't take Nigel Farage seriously when the two of you began stoking the fires of this populist uprising. But now that they've been defeated, they're bound to fortify themselves mightily and do whatever it takes to remove Donald Trump and discredit and undermine the populist nationalist movement that's now a reality in the U.S. and Europe. Will sustaining this revolt be harder than winning the Brexit referendum and getting Trump elected the first time?
No, if we keep our resolve, and that's my caveat. We have to keep our resolve. We have to keep campaigning. This revolution has to be perpetuated. We at no point must rest on our laurels. If we do, the other side will simply overwhelm us. So we've got to fight on. We've got to fight on here for Brexit to make sure it happens. And you've got to fight on in America to make sure that the right candidates get selected in the midterms in November of next year. We can never rest for one moment. Otherwise, the establishment will come back and take that ground. They shouldn't do. Public opinion doesn't want them to do it. We have to make sure they simply can't.
Do Donald Trump's approval numbers of around 40% worry you?
Well, actually, in terms of Brexit, we're much, much higher than that. Amongst the public, Brexit is now up near 70%, despite the fact Parliament's losing its nerve. So I am convinced that as far as our revolution's concerned, it is there, it is still being propagated. And if at some point in time we have to fight a future great battle, do you know what? We will, and we're ready for it.
Nigel Farage, thank you so much for joining us. And we're so looking forward to your appearance on Thursday, October 12th in Washington, D.C., sponsored by LibertyNation.com, where, as we say, truth is making a comeback. Safe travels, Mr. Farage, until we meet in short order.
I look forward to seeing you very soon, guys.
That is the inimitable Nigel Farage, different in style than Donald Trump, but not in clarity and content, with the same grassroots appeal to what Hillary Clinton called the deplorables, the forgotten men and women of Britain who are no longer forced to live under the rule of unelected bureaucrats in foreign capitals like Brussels, all because Nigel Farage forced the Brexit referendum to a vote and scored a victory almost as impossible as that of Donald Trump. Between Nigel Farage and Donald Trump, Brexit and the astonishing U.S. presidential election, 2016 will go down as truly a fanfare for the common man. And if you're listening to this before the dinner hour on Thursday, make your way to the Georgetown Marriott in our nation's capital to see Nigel Farage in person, presented by LibertyNation.com. So that's it for this week. Back again next week. I'm Tim Donner, and this is The Uprising, the podcast of LibertyNation.com.